I was in a bookstore a couple weeks ago, and they had a section of books that talked about what it means to be, and they had a couple sections. They had a section that dealt with what it meant to be a person, a certain nationality. So they had a little booklet that says what it means to be an American, what it means to be English, what it means to be Polish, what it means to be Russian. And it had a whole bunch of booklets about what it means to be different nationalities. And then they had a religious section. They had a bunch of booklets, what it means to be a Baptist, what it means to be a Catholic, what it means to be an Episcopalian, and all sorts of them. And I picked some of them up and just flipped through them. They were only about 5 pages long. Each one of them was just 5 pages long. They were all at the 100,000 foot level, okay? They all had general concepts. They all had general ideas, broad generalizations. There was really no practical, down-to-earth kind of stuff about what it means to really be an American or what it really means to be a Baptist. They just didn't go into any kind of practical detail at all. And I thought as I was looking at those little books and as I left the bookstore and drove home, I'm glad that the book that we have that was given to us by God is not like that. I'm glad the Bible is not just a book of concepts and broad generalizations. I'm glad the Bible is a day-to-day, practical, in-detail kind of book that gets right down to where we live and tells us what we need to know in a detailed kind of way. And this morning, I'm not going to go to 100,000 feet. If you've been here very long, most of you know I can't ever, hardly ever get there, if at all. I'm the kind of guy that likes to stay at ground level. I'm the kind of guy that likes to preach practical kind of messages. And this morning I preach a message I've entitled The Christian Life. The Christian Life. And I use that little verse that we read from 1 Philippians chapter 1 verse 21 where the Bible says, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." That verse tells us 4 things about the Christian life that every single person needs to know. It tells us, first of all, that the Christian life is personal. It's personal. That verse says, "For to me." You see, being a Christian is a personal thing. It's an individual thing. It's for you and me as individuals. It's personal because you and I have to understand and admit that you and I are sinners. We have to admit that we are sinners. You know, it's always easier to recognize and confess the sins of other people. I mean, we can readily see them. And what do we say when somebody starts talking about our sins? We say, "Well, that's kind of personal, isn't it?" Well, it is personal. And Christianity is personal because we as a person have to understand that we are a sinner. We as a person have to understand that we have fallen short of God's glory. The old Negro spiritual says, "It's not my father nor my mother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer." And we need to realize and we need to say as individuals, "I'm a sinner. I've broken God's law. I've come short of God's glory." It's personal because we need to realize that we're sinners. It's personal because the punishment of sin is personal. You say, "Preacher, how can that be?" The Bible says the punishment of sin is death, separation from God. The Bible says the punishment of sin is to be separated from Him forever in that place called hell. And the Bible talks about hell. In fact, the Bible talks about hell more than it talks about heaven. The Bible talks about hell as a real place. And please don't let anybody tell you or try to convince you that hell is just a figment of somebody's imagination, that it's a state of mind. I want to remind you this morning, as firm as I know how, that hell is a real place. It's a place of fire. It's a place of the bottomless pit. It's a place where the insect dieth not, the worm dieth not. It's a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you say, "Preacher, how can the punishment for sin be personal if everybody that rejects Christ is going to go to hell and live in that place apart from God?" It's personal because I think one of the worst parts about hell is the remembrances that we will have of all, or not we, because I'm not going there, amen. But it will be the remembrances that people have that go to hell of all the opportunities that they had to receive Christ that they rejected. It'll be personal in that way. Because every single person will be able to think back to a time that their mom or dad told them about Jesus Christ and tried to convince them to be a Christian. Every single person will be able to look back to a grandpa or a grandma that told them they were a sinner and they needed Jesus Christ. Every single person will look back to a Sunday school teacher or a preacher that stood up and pounded the pulpit and hollered and tried to warn them about hell and tried to keep them out of hell by telling them about the love that Jesus Christ had for them. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth because they'll remember a radio preacher that they heard that preached the gospel. Or they'll remember a little tract that they picked up and read that told them about Jesus Christ. Or they'll remember when somebody came and knocked on their door and told them and invited them to the church and told them about Jesus and gave them the opportunity. And over again they said, no, 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 no. And in hell, one of the worst parts about hell will be to remember how close they come, how close they came to receiving the gospel when they heard the gospel, and yet they rejected it. So it's personal because we as individuals have to admit that we're sinners. It's personal because the punishment that will be paid in hell will be a personal punishment. And it's personal because Jesus died for us as individuals. He died for you. He died for me as an individual person. I know the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I know the Bible says that. But what the Bible teaches is that God died for individuals. He died for Bill. He died for Roy. He died for Nick. He died for me. We need to read John 3:16 and put our name in that verse. For God so loved David that he gave his only begotten Son, that if David believeth in him, David shall not perish, but David shall have everlasting life. It's a personal thing to be a Christian. The Christian life is a personal thing because Jesus Christ died for you as a person, as an individual. One of the sweet things that my grandmother taught me when I was a teenage boy, that it was that if I was the only sinner, that if I was the only one that fell short of the glory of God, Jesus Christ would have still come and died in my place and paid the price for my sins. She made it real to me. I want to make it real to you this morning. He died for you. If you were the only sinner, if you were the only one that fell short of his glory, he still would have come and paid the price for your sin. It's personal because we need to admit that we're all sinners. It's personal because the punishment will be personal. It's personal because the Savior died for individuals. It's personal because you and I, as individuals, need to decide to receive him. You see, our mom and dad can't do it for us. Our grandparents can't do it for us. Our brothers and sisters can't do it for us. Our Sunday school teachers and pastors can't do it for us. It's a personal decision that each person needs to make. We sing the song sometimes, I have decided to follow Jesus. If you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you need to say, I have decided to trust Christ. I have decided to depend on him and what he did on Calvary, as we pictured in the Lord's Supper this morning. I have decided to put my faith in him, to put my trust in him, to depend on what he did for me on Calvary. I have decided to receive that. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So the Christian life is personal. Paul wrote, for to me. And then, number two, the Christian life is practical. He said, for to me, to live. For to me, to live. You see, it's very impractical for a person to try to do something in a way or with something that was not made to do that thing. It's impractical for you to try to do something if you're not equipped to do that thing. And so I tell you, and let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about. It would be impractical for me to try to go to California on my bicycle. Right? Now, I could ride from here to Bill's house on my bicycle because it's just down the street. I could probably make it to over at Brother Harry's house. It's a little bit further, but I could probably make it over there. I can make it to David and Lisa's house because they just live down the street. I can make it on my bicycle. But I could not make it to California. I wouldn't even try to ride to my house from here because it's longer. And I might die before I get to my house on my bicycle. So it is impractical for me to ride a bike a very far distance. It is impractical for me to take a songbook and to learn about history or medicine. Now, there are songs in this book that speak to history. There are songs in this book that speak to medicine. But if I really wanted to learn about history and medicine, I need to get books that deal with history and medicine. The Bible deals with both. That's a pretty good book to go to. And there are history books and there are medical books that are more practical to use if I want to learn those subjects than the song book. Another example. It is impractical for me to take a butcher knife and try to dig out a splinter. Now, you can maybe get it done, but it's impractical to do that. Listen, the Christian life is a practical life because that's what God made you to live. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so when he made you as an individual, his plan for you was to live as a Christian. His plan for you was to be part of his family. His plan for you was to come to Jesus Christ, get saved, and live as a Christian. And when we try to live our lives apart from Christ, we're trying to live our lives in a way that God never designed us to live. Never. Never. I mean, he made every person to be part of his family. His desire is every person receive Christ. And so people that are living outside of Jesus Christ are living an impractical life. They go through the motions. I mean, they work, they get married, they have children, but they miss the essence of life that God wants every single person to have. And you can't have it apart from Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The life. So, the Christian life, it's personal. It's practical. Number three, it's possible. For to me, to live is Christ. He's the one that made it possible. I can't make it possible. I cannot become a Christian, nor I cannot live as a Christian apart from Jesus Christ. And so it is possible only because of what Jesus Christ did for me. You see, I could not save myself, and neither could you. And if you're here today and you've never received Christ, neither can you. You cannot be good enough. You cannot do enough. You cannot pay enough. The Bible says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. But what we could not do for ourselves, Jesus Christ did for us. On the cross of Calvary, God laid on him every one of our sins. Every single one. Not in part, but in whole. Every one of our sins was laid on the Savior, and he paid the price for every sin. That's why the Bible says, for whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So I couldn't save myself, neither could you. And you and I cannot live by ourselves as a Christian. We don't have the strength on our own. We don't have the power on our own. But I and you can do all things through Jesus Christ, which strengtheneth us. The Bible asks the question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer comes back, a resounding no, no, no. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. He gives us the power that we need to live for Him. Makes the Christian life possible. So the Christian life is personal. For to me, it's practical to live. It's possible. For to me to live is Christ. And number four, it's profitable. And to die is gain. To die is gain. The Bible says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, what God hath prepared for them that love Him. You know, we think we know something about heaven. And we know some things. The most precious metal on earth is going to be used to pave the street of heaven. We know the street is made out of gold. We know that there's going to be mansions there. And sometimes I think we think about mansions as houses that, you know, if you have a lot of money, you can buy a big house and that becomes a mansion. I don't think there's going to be big houses in heaven. If you look at the Greek word for that word mansion, it actually means nest. Nest. We're going to have homes in heaven that we are going to be protected and cared for by our Heavenly Father. Just like a little baby bird in a nest is loved and protected and cared for by his or her mother. And so we know some things about heaven, but we don't know the half of it. But when we walk into heaven, we are going to be... And again, I try to imagine things in my mind. I've tried to imagine what it would be like to walk into heaven. And I picture in my mind a pearl with a doorway through the middle of it, the gates of pearl. I picture a gold street with, I don't picture nest in my mind, but I picture little houses along the street. And I believe there's only one street in heaven, and that street's long enough for everybody to have a house. There ain't no other side of the tracks. There ain't no slums. It's all one street, and we all live on that one street. I picture that in my mind. I picture meeting my grandmothers in heaven. I picture meeting a little boy that we had that died before he was even born. I picture that in my mind. I even try to picture in my mind what it would be like to meet my Savior. And I want to tell you, even though I've tried and tried, and most of you know I have a pretty vivid imagination, I want to be honest with you this morning, I in no way can imagine what it would be like to stand before Jesus Christ. See the wounds in his hand, the wound in his side, and to step into his presence. I can't imagine what that would be like, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it because, you see, one day all the treasures of this world are going to pass away. The things that we work so hard to accumulate and to save and to put away, one of these days is not going to be worth anything. Nothing. And we're going to walk into the presence of God. We're going to walk into heaven. And we're just going to say, wow. Wow. I thought I knew what was coming, but I had no idea. Wow, wow, wow. How much God must love us to prepare a place like this for us. So the Christian life is personal, for to me, it's practical to live. It's possible is Christ. And it's profitable, and to die is gain. Let me ask you this morning, do you have it? Do you have it? I think most people here this morning are Christians. I know that from your testimony. There's been a time in your life where you asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior. You've trusted Him to pay for all your sins and to make you right with God. But there might be one or two here this morning that's never done that. Let me speak for the whole congregation. If we could stand with one voice, we would tell you, there's not a better decision that you could make. There's not a better thing that you could do than to trust Jesus Christ. I know you may have some reservation. I know there may be something that's holding you back. But I will tell you, whatever it is, put it aside. Whatever it is, just trust us. I mean, we've done it. We know a little bit about it. And we know all the things that we let get in the way after we did it didn't mean a thing in the world. Didn't mean a thing in the world. You need to come to Jesus this morning. You need to receive Him as your Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Him. Would you come to Him this morning? Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the simplicity of it. Thank You that it is on ground level. It does not at 100,000 feet. It gets right down to where we live. And I pray for those that might be here this morning that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior. Father, help them see that they're a sinner. Help them see there's a penalty for that sin, and that penalty is to be separated from You, not only here, but in all eternity. Help them to see that the only way that they can take care of their sins, the things that separate them from You, is to let Jesus pay for them. It's to come to Him and trust what He did on Calvary's cross to make them right with You. And I pray, Father, You'll help them make that decision right now. Holy Spirit, just bring them to the Savior this morning. Help them in just a second to walk the aisle. We'll take the Bible, and from the Bible, show them what it is to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Please bless this invitation. Talk to Christians that are here. Father, if there's something in our hearts or in our lives that don't need to be there, help us this morning to make some holy vows to get rid of them with Your help. Just bless this time of invitation. We give it to You and ask You to bless in Christ's name. Amen.